Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just come before you and In awe. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we really do want to come home. The place that we live, as you know, right now has become very dark. But things are moving faster than we expected. And there are some changes and dynamics in play right now that maybe have some of our hearts troubled. But I think we should, you know, with your help and your anointing and your strength, Father, we'll be able to stand strong. Endure to the end, as the scripture says, whatever that means for each and every one of us. And Father, we just pray that anything that we talk about tonight, you know, it's none of it's, you know, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know, 1 Corinthians 8:2. And Father, we just pray that you will place a spirit of humility and a spirit of determination on all of our hearts, that we will spend the necessary time to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to spend time on our knees, praying to you in the morning undisturbed, seeking you with all of our heart, that we would have that open fire that's talked about in how Satan stops your prayers, combat in the spiritual realm, following us throughout the day. And renewing it the next day, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just also ask you that you would please forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father God, we pray for a spirit of peace and love to come down upon each of us, even though that we may have some differences in the way that we think about things and what we feel that our duties are. Let us all just live in love and endure. Endure the times that we're in right now and be thankful for the things that you have given us, and also in accordance with your instruction, Lord Jesus, we ask you, indeed we pray always, to be found worthy, to be counted worthy, to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And we thank you for showing us that that scripture was uniquely established for those who are in the period of the fig tree generation. And we know that we certainly are. We don't know what the outcomes are going to be. We know that things are shifting and changing faster than we can keep up with. And some of them are happening in ways that we did not anticipate, particularly with all of the threats coming from different, I don't want to just say left Democrats or anything. I think it's a lot deeper and darker than that. But we haven't seen them made manifest as of now, as of yet, and things seem to be pretty quiet. So, Father, we just pray that you will encourage each and every one of us, and give us, those of us who are working in the workplace that are, you know, we're blessed. But at the same time, we're also burdened because a lot of the companies, because of the state of the economy, have lightened their load. And so, of course, that load gets moved over onto the rest of the employees, and they end up working longer hours and on much more difficult tasks than is normal. So anyway, we just pray for that extra strength. We need it more than ever. Father, we pray that none of us will lose sight of the prize and understand how significant all of this is, no matter how, which direction it turns or how things turn out in the imminent future. And we just give you all the praise. Let us always be in praise and awe of you forever and ever. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Well, as it turns out, Trump did get confirmed. That is interesting because there were some highly credible, very noteworthy people, well-connected amongst the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate that were making claims that they were going to invoke the Article 13 of the 14th Amendment and try to pull a double cross on Donald Trump, as they've been doing all along, and ultimately make a declaration that he was, an insurrectionist and therefore was not qualified to be confirmed. Now, I would submit to many of our surprise, certainly my surprise, there was no sign of any of that. Everything went as peacefully as you could possibly imagine. It was almost surreal to watch. I didn't watch the whole thing, the whole confirmation in the House and Senate or whatever in the Congress, but I did watch a portion of it, and it was surreal. Given all of the threats that were levied against him by so many people in positions of power, also people that are ex-CIA type whistleblowers and who claim I don't have a copy of their resume and I don't know them personally, but they certainly have been on a lot of shows and they claim to be extremely well connected, and the collective of people who were lining up these various arguments that they felt they had against Donald Trump's confirmation, none of it happened. It was just the weirdest, most surreal situation I think I've ever seen. Of course, for me, that results in, disappointment. I know that it is quite possible, and I don't like saying this, but I will, because I think it's reasonable. Our Father does call audibles. In other words, he relents. Remember when Moses, when he was saying that he wanted to destroy the Israelites, and Moses, essentially said to him, Father, you don't want to do that, because it'll make you look bad in front of the Egyptians. And our Father relented. Okay, now you would see in the King James it would say repent, but that's incorrect. The New King James correctly translates that over to the word relent, which essentially means to change your mind. And if you do use the New King James and you search on the word relent, you can see that it's sprinkled all throughout the text, and it's very, very common that our Father does change his mind. Now, that being said, I will say this, and this is what makes it so strange and so ultra surreal, is that we have more confirmations associated with 2025 being a major turning point. God bless you, Brother Jeremy. He's just texted me. He came alive. He must have got off of work or something. I don't know. I guess I better check his text, because when West Coast Walter starts texting, sometimes it's really serious. All right. So anyway, I'm checking a couple other things, and I'll be looking into them with in much greater detail a little bit down the road here. But anyway, praise Jesus. So unlike 2016, what we had was a lot of prophetic words from a lot of different people, many of whom had been on the show as guests. We have multiple prophetic words from God's Healer 7 coming right out and stating just as plain as day, that Obama is the Antichrist. I know what happened with myself and my mother in 1972, when she sat me down and she said, Johnny, I had a vision. Now, she wasn't a person who was full of she didn't like prophesy all the time. She wasn't in what a lot of people call the house of a prophet. Okay. So it was very unusual for my mother to have a supernatural experience along that line. But she did have two. One of them was about me. And I'm told this on my testimony. So for those of you who have heard it, this will be a repeat. But there were two events that my mother had that were very, very supernatural. Of course, well, there was a couple other ones, but for me, significant to me, where she sat me down at the age of 10 years old. Now, it was two separate times, but it was the same circumstances. You know, sitting in the kitchen, Johnny, come here, sit down a second, I need to talk to you. One of those was that she had had a vivid dream and did not understand. She wrote it down and she did not understand, you know, what it meant, but she wrote it down in great detail, handed it off to Pastor Gerald Durstein, I'm not sure, I think it might be the latter, and said to him, would you mind praying over this? I wrote it all down for you, and let me know what your interpretation is from the Lord. And that one turned out, she sat me down and she said, I got the interpretation back from Pastor Durstein, and he said that this is a prophecy about your son. This dream is about your son, and he is going to be unmarried and be a well-known end times preacher. Okay, now of course, at the age of 10, that doesn't really mean an awful lot to you. You're like, okay, Mom, you know. And then of course, you know, I lived a life of debauchery until I realized that once saved, always saved wasn't for real, and God smacked me upside the head with a frying pan. But anyway, that was great. That was a good thing for me, praise Jesus. Now, it has been a long, hard road, you know, it's rife with all kinds of trials and tribulations and challenges that come from the most unlikely sources in some cases. But nevertheless, praise God, we're all in this together. So that one came true beyond any shadow of a doubt. And by the way, I didn't see it coming true. Okay. What ended up happening was there was a, I don't want to call it a cataclysm. What would we, it was a very, very serious medical issue that occurred with my ex-wife. So serious that it scared me real bad. And I went running to the first Holy Spirit-filled church, or at least the best I could find. Nowadays, it's nothing like it used to be. But anyway, the best I could find in the area. And that was a major turning point. That was when I established Tribulation Now, as a website back in 2009, and then in 2011, went ahead and started doing, you know, podcasts. So had been up to the podcasting thing, you know, Sons of God, Who Are We and Why Are We Here, all the alien phenomenon, the intergalactic nature of God, the kingdom of God being multiple universes, multiple realms and dimensions and all that. I mean, this radio show has, well, pun intended, gone where no man has gone before, praise Jesus. But anyway, that was the one. The second major thing that happened with my mom, again, in 1972 when I was 10, and once again, she said, Johnny, sit down. And it was the same place right there in the kitchen. And she looked at me and she said, Johnny, I just want to let you know, I had a vision of the Antichrist. Now, this was the second vision of the Antichrist that occurred within our family and friends. The first one was from David Ebal, Pastor David Ebal, who had a vision of a Muslim-looking man that would be with that tan, you know, kind of a permanent suntan-looking skin, and also a blue turban on his head. So essentially what Pastor Ebal had seen was a Muslim Antichrist, which was interesting because when you combine that with what my mother was shown, she said, Johnny, he was a mulatto man, half white and half black. Well, what's interesting is that takes the qualification of the skin tone from a Muslim to a whole nother level. And she said that he's alive today and he's almost exactly your age. Now, I carried that with me, you know, in my subconscious for the better part of 45 or more years until Jonathan Kleck had his vision of Obama, his prophecy of Obama being the Antichrist. Now, soon after that, not only did everything come back to full recollection to me, and I was like, whoa, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, everything was like, and by that time I realized I was on the radio, I was unmarried, and all these things were coming to pass, and it was mind-blowing, just absolutely mind-shattering. And then I started piecing all these things together throughout my whole life and seeing how they fit together like an incredible supernatural puzzle, praise God. So when when Jonathan Cleck had his original prophetic word about Obama being the Antichrist, my light bulb went off, you know, 10 billion candlelight power, pow! And then I knew it at that point. And oh, goodness gracious, the number of people that we had lined up. I had prophecies on my whiteboard, probably about 20 of them. Now, some of them were highly accurate, but remember that we prophesy in part and we see through the mirror dimly. And that applies even to people who are in the office of a prophet. Sometimes they don't get things precisely right. Sometimes people have prophecies, dreams, and visions, and they're, you know, not 100%. And that's kind of normal. You know, we are human. We have biases, and sometimes they do get a little bit in the way of, you know, the prophetic word. And so we need to be, what I was taught as a youngster, you know, under the teaching of my mother that was passed down from Pastor Ebal, was that you just take it and you put it on a shelf. Okay, so you don't sell the farm. I feel sorry for those that we've had on the show that did, in fact, sell everything they had because they felt that the Lord had moved upon them to set up sanctuary locations, sanctuary cities or whatever. But I don't want to say that city word, but locations, farms or whatever, where they could have people come for sanctuary during times of tribulation. And some of them, unfortunately, didn't fare very well because, I don't know, either God changed his mind and they were left, you know, kind of holding the note, as it were. So I've basically, the conversations that I've had with the Lord were basically, you know, Father, if you want me to move, you need to send Gabriel down into my bedroom and go, oh, and it's like a big bright light in the middle of my bedroom and say, time to move, John, you know, and then in that case, it's like, I'll, you know, do everything that's required to get out of here, which is no small potatoes when you've been living in a house for over 20 years. Now, anyway, so I had, of course, that mulatto man, Antichrist, plus the turban Antichrist thing happened way back in 72 when I was 10 years old. So there's that. And of course, they weren't things that happened to you. Now, I will say that, now I don't know exactly when it was. I think it was the first couple of years of Obama's presidency, but I do have a copy of the article. I take snapshots of things because I know that the links are not trustworthy. You can take a link and put it into a web page, and 6 months later, the link is gone. So I take a lot of snapshots, and I had taken a snapshot of an article. I forget. I think it was Newsweek, but I'm not sure. And it had said that they had done a, you know, whoever they were, you know, one of those polling agencies. And I do recall it was a relatively reputable one. And they had, one of the questions that they had asked people when they were running a poll of X number of people, you know, to try to add credibility to the poll was, and how they came up with this question, I don't know. But I guess there was enough people chattering about it. And the conclusion was that 25% of the American population believed that it was very likely, if not definite, that Obama is the Antichrist, which I have a copy of that actual newspaper article. So that was fascinating. And also what I want to do is I don't have that queued up right now, but I think it would be a very interesting thing to do. And that is to go through Thomas Warren's book, which I believe was entitled Zenith 2016. In that, was that the right one? I have to go back and look because I you know, there are three books of Tom Horn's, Apollyon Rising, I believe it's Zenith 2016. But anyway, I'm not sure which one it was, but one of those two books, he has almost like two chapters, or it feels like it's a big, thick section of the book that is dedicated to all the things that were said, both prophetically by the news. They were just very unusual things that you never, never hear said about anybody. One of the things that people forget very quickly about, because we're all very busy and we're dealing with life issues and problems and challenges, of course, that a lot of people forget that Obama, his inaugural speech was in the Temple of Zeus, which is, you know, the Temple of Satan. So inside the Denver Broncos stadium, football stadium, they set up an exact duplicate, a mock-up of the Temple of Zeus, which is mentioned in the Holy Bible, which essentially is the Temple of Satan. And that is where he gave his inaugural speech. Don't even get me going with the glowing red eyes of the horse of the apocalypse and the deep underground military bases and the runways that are in the shape of a swastika, which is really representative of Planet X because it's a black sun. And there's a lot of symbolism that is, many different types of ways to express symbolically a black sun. But at the end of the day, it all points back to Nibiru, which is in our very close and intermingled within our solar system with the seven planets that orbit around it, which is one of the reasons why I just recently got a photograph that was taken supposedly from the cameras at the ISS space station of an Anunnaki mothership, which I really want to get that published up on Tribulation Now so everybody can take a look at that. All right, so everything's kind of queued up. I'm at an extremely high pressure point in the week right now, where it's kind of like do or die. And the next 2 days, if I'm not able to complete this document and have a quick chat with my boss about what his vision is for me when I'm meeting with the client next week, it would be a miracle from Jesus for sure if I was able to pull off the five workshops that I'm supposed to do, having no idea what I'm supposed to be talking about. Praise God. That's kind of a big part of my job is, hey, give it to John. It's like that life cereal commercial. Give it to Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. Well, it's kind of the other way around with me. It's like, oh, we don't know what to do with this. Why, this is a real mess. Call John. I always like to get my boss's vision because he gives me ideas that a lot of times I just don't think of, right? You know, two heads are better than one. So anyway, praise God for that. So I'm hoping that and believing that all of that is going to come true. And I spend a lot of time praying. And I thank you all very much for the prayers that you, when you mention me by name, I promise you, I am on my knees oftentimes in tears before the Father, beseeching him for a tenfold blessing. And I don't even know what that means, but I ask him for blessings for your health, blessings for your job, blessings for your family, your children, every aspect of your life, because it means so much to me that anybody would take the time to even mention me, some unknown voice in the internetosphere, to the Lord in prayer, because I definitely need it a lot more than probably most people would imagine. But anyway, praise God. So I want to go back and look at Apollyon Rising. I want to go back and look at Zenith. I think it's 2016. One of those two books I have marked, okay, several major portions of the book that have just endless. It would probably take the better part of almost a whole hour to read to you all of the things that Thomas Horn came up with that were extremely supernatural regarding Obama and his presidential election. Now, and there's FBI whistleblower testimonies and everything else under the sun, so it just goes on and on and on. Now then, does this mean that we have any guarantees? No, it doesn't. It does not mean that we have any... Kids, do we have any guarantees? Exactly. We don't have any guarantees. All right. Praise God. So anyway, because God answers prayer. And, we don't. If you think about it, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, okay, for those of us who are very, very, very anxiously awaiting our departure into the kingdom of heaven and the transformation of our lowly bodies, amen. But anyway, because we know what time it is and we know what's coming our way. We know how black the black wall of, satanic evil that the 15-minute cities, the CBDCs, I don't know why people are, everybody wants to text me right now, but they sure do. But anyway, we know what the plan is. We know that they're talking about, they're calling it a quaddemic right now. Okay, but they're also including some confirmed deaths. That's what they're claiming of H1. H5N1 flu, which I, you know, we don't know how it's all going to pan out. But one thing we know for sure is that there we can see the buildup of another pandemic coming. So I think it was 27 states now have mandatory mask requirements for any medical facilities and such like that. So again, I don't know how this is all going to pan out. We got Trump on the 20th, but then on the 19th, he has some sort of a revival. I don't know what you want to call it. Some kind of a thing where he's getting together and having a celebration on the 19th in a relatively public place, which a lot of people called out as being kind of odd, given the number of threats that are still out there swirling around the internetosphere, coming from supposedly highly credible sources, that they have everything from shoulder-fired Iranian missiles. Of course, it'd have to be Iran. And, all kinds of different threats still targeting Donald Trump. And never mind that he's trying to get shut down on Judge Merchan on the 10th. He's trying to work through the Supreme Court to get that ixnayed. He just doesn't want to have to deal with it. Even though they came out and publicly said that there was no intention of incarceration of any type, he just doesn't want to play that game. He doesn't want to go there. I don't blame him. All right. Now, all that being said, I want to circle back to some of the other things that make this such an unusual dynamic. The most, if I was part of this global Satanic crime syndicate, one of my goals would be to take out Trump and Vance and the whole group, whoever that whole group is, but whoever I can, before the 20th. Okay, because things become far more complicated unless they do a dynamic which was in the movie White House Down or something like that, or Designated Survivor. Okay, where something really bad happens, like a big bomb goes off or something at the Capitol complex, and the entire succession list is taken out. If that were to erupt into if we go back to Ken Peters' vision of the tribulation, which a lot of people have heard, and if you haven't, I recommend that you do type in Ken Peters' tribulation on YouTube and go listen to it. One of the things that he notices, it's a whole portfolio of things, it's a bunch of things, but one of the things that he notices is and Humvees, okay, and different things that he didn't recognize them. He's never seen anything like it before. And he mentioned the United Nations and everything. And those are the kinds of things that we would expect to have in the United States as peacekeeping forces post martial law type of dynamic, right? We also know that the Antichrist has put out, two movies, and the latter of the two was Civil War. So that we know they broadcast their plans. We know what they plan to, then of course the other one was Leave the World Behind, which was all kind of creepy. But anyway, we know that that's their plan. Okay, but how much easier would that plan be if they were able to, execute, or not, that's not a bad choice of words, if they were to bring together their master plan to remove Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, etc., from the running, and not so that they couldn't make it to the 20th, okay, prior to that event taking place, that, of course, would naturally be the easiest way for the forces of darkness to achieve the goal that they're shooting for. However, we also know that the Illuminati and the forces of darkness, the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate, probably comes down from, it comes from Satan. It comes from Satan. Satan talks to the Draco reptilians. We don't know who all's Dracos. We don't know all who is just regular reptilians. We don't know, but that's the hierarchy. Okay, that is the hierarchy. Okay, and then it moves down into people that are, just evil, which there are so many of. Okay, so, I like to call it the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate because they operate just like, the Godfathers, Goodfellas, Reservoir Dogs, all that kind of stuff. That's how they operate. They literally will threaten the life of your child or their fingers getting cut off or whatever. They'll go to their schools, they'll pick them up, they'll kidnap them, take them away. This is the kind of stuff, this is the kind of extortion and stuff that they do to the various people to make sure that they do what they're told. Okay, and then they suicide them in some cases. The Manchurian Candidate MK Ultra stuff never ended. It's still going on. It's probably just under another name. I haven't looked up whatever name it is because, you know, I have looked into it. And yes, it does still exist. But I don't remember what the name of the program is. maybe one of you do. All right. So anyway, so here are some of the things. Now, these are just the big ticket items, but maybe not as big. You know, that's a matter of opinion for people. And I know people who they're just not prophecy people. They don't. I was raised in a church that had so much prophecy happening every single service I was in, every single service. It was just like reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It followed everything right out of the Bible. It was amazing. There were prophecies. There were visions. I remember a little boy that was brought to the podium of the church, and he had lost one of his eyes, and he would cover up his good eye, and it was clearly covered up. And with the eye that was not there, he would read the Bible out of it. I mean, there was all kinds of miracles. People, you know, jumping out of wheelchairs that had been in wheelchairs with muscular dystrophy and all kinds of things like that. It was just a miracle-filled church. And I was raised in that, going 3 to 4 times a week from the age of 6. And plus my family was also a demon-chasing type of a family. They cleaned houses and had demons throw things at them and just all kinds of stuff. It's just how I was raised. So to me, it's a second nature thing. I am very big on prophecies, but also from learning over the years, I've seen dynamics where, you know, people prophesy in part and they don't, and also where God changes his mind. God does answer prayer. We had Glenda Jackson on the radio show, I believe twice, and she had said, I forget where she was, maybe it was on Sid Roth, but she had said, if God's people do not pray, you know, and she had like, you know, it was like very, very emphatically, if the church of the Lord does not become the house of prayer, then Obama will stay in the White House and very bad things will happen in the United States. In other words, Obama would be the last president. So a lot of us took that to heart, and we thought to ourselves, well, the state of the churchianity in the United States, we just didn't believe in it, that they would meet the requirements from a prayer standpoint. And well, evidently they must have, because that prophecy did not come true. And Trump, to many of our surprise, did become the president in 2016. So we had that. So we have to be at the ready for anything. We don't know exactly how things are going to go down, and we don't understand, you know, what God is going to do. We, you know, he's still in charge, and of course, always. And you know, we also don't know what the lineup is. You know, the Illuminati, the forces of the darkness, the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate, they never have just a plan A or a plan B or a plan C. They have a collection of different plans, and one backs up the other, which backs up the other, which backs up the other. And plus, we have the information that I have posted on tribulationnow.com, that indicate that Donald Trump is very high up in the Scottish Rite, which is why he makes the triangle sign all the time when he's sitting in front of people. I do have the one photograph that the people had taken from their television when Trump was live, and one of his eyes was in the shape of a serpent, a reptilian. So there's some, and then of course we have Elon Musk. It's amazing how many photographs of Elon Musk come out with that red outfit on, where he has an upside down black cross and a Baphomet on the front. So there, things are not as they seem, and don't get me going on Palantir and all the evil that they're involved in and how they're the primary funder of, and the backers of J.D. Vance, et cetera. It just goes on and on and on. You really can't trust anything or anybody nowadays. You got to really watch yourself. Make sure you keep your heart in check. Okay, if there is anything important that I say tonight, the number one thing you always want to do is check your heart. If you have any enmity, if you're upset with anybody, if you haven't forgiven someone that has hurt you, you have to put them at the top of your prayer list. Reverend William Law said that nothing will make you fall in love with somebody more than praying for them. And I am first-person testimony of that with a large collection of people that tried to destroy my career, set up websites, YouTube channels, and everything else under the sun to destroy me. And I'm still attacked even to this day. And I think a lot of the people that do it don't really realize that that's how it's perceived. But that's okay. It's all part of life as a Christian. We're always, you know, remember it was Peter standing before Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter, for crying out loud. So any one of us can take on a role that's going to hurt another person's feelings, or it could be worse. It could be like, you know, maybe you had something horrible happen to one of your children or whatever. You have to pray for that person. Father, please forgive them. Imagine them burning for all of eternity. See, it is your forgiveness that sets that person free. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, in the name of Jesus, please don't send them to hell. Because God looks at it at your forgiveness for that person's offense against you as an opening for them to potentially make it to heaven. And that's ultimately what our Heavenly Father wants. He would want not one to perish. So no matter who has hurt your feelings, that's the number one thing that puts Christians in hell is unforgiveness. So you've got to get the unforgiveness out of your heart. And anybody that's hurt your feelings, pray for them. Pray fervently for them. And like William Law said, it is very, very true. You will fall in love with them and things will be okay. I'm not going to sit here and name the list that I have. It's a big list. But, you know, when you do the kind of work that I do for the Lord over so many years, it's just going to happen. It's a natural part of, the attack dynamics from the dark one, the evil one. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I wanted to go over and kind of lift your spirits for those of us who are anxiously awaiting the transformation of our bodies and just kind of do a quick high-level review of some of the things that make Obama being the Antichrist and the times that we live in right now pretty strong and give us hope that God has not relented and that this is not going to drag on for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Now, it could, okay? So we got to prepare ourselves for that. I have talked to an awful lot of people, and the vast majority of them are like, no way, absolutely not. I don't believe it for a second, this, that, and the other thing. So there's a lot of people that are very staunch in their position regarding something taking a turn and ultimately leading to that civil war, to that martial law, and ultimately to that point in time where Obama will take, he will be back in the White House, but not as the president, probably affiliated directly as a leading member of the United Nations. And then to get the, it's very much like designated survivor. Okay, you know, where a bomb went off, took out that pretty much everybody in Congress, and the entire succession list was gone until they were left with Kiefer Sutherland, who became, I forget what he was, some kind of force secretary or something. Anyway, so he was voted in. Now, we have, one of the things that we have that happened was there is a PDD-51, or actually it's better known nowadays as NSD, National Security Directive number 51, for the continuity of government. Okay, Senator DeFazio was through a fit on C-SPAN over this because they were being threatened. The people in Congress were being threatened. You know, we're going to go into martial law if you do not vote for NSD 51. Well, National Security Directive number 51 is entitled For the Continuity of Government. However, nobody at all, except for a tiny privileged few, ever got to see what was underneath the redacted pages, which is what upset Senator DeFazio so much. And he threw a fit. He was angry, stomping his feet right there on C-SPAN. And I even have a recording of him going off. But anyway, So I thought about that, and I wondered to myself, wouldn't it be interesting? What would they do? What would the forces of darkness, the forces, look, when you go back and you study the history of, and I really want to get back to that Tom Horn book, so that may be the next program I do, I don't know, and just read the plethora of stuff that Tom Horn uncovered, identifying Obama as being bar none the most likely candidate, if not the candidate, for being the Antichrist, which he is. All right, so, but anyway, let's put that on the table for now. And recognize that National Security Directive 51 for the continuity of government is all about keeping the United States government functional in a worst case scenario. Now, what would a worst case scenario be? Well, it would be like in the movie White House Down, or I believe I had the title of that right, and then also the Designated Survivor movie, both of which had a major bomb-like incident where it blew up a bunch of the Capitol building and wiped out all of Congress and all that kind of stuff, and they had to go to the succession list. And, of course, they were running out of options. So if something like that were to happen and those movies turn out to be prophetic, okay, then that kind of a dynamic could occur at any time, even after the 20th. So we are going to be on guard in perpetuity. Praise God. So keep that in mind. Donald Trump going into the White House doesn't change the threat. It just changes how the threat will materialize. All right. But also, I'd like to go ahead and touch on these things to give you hope to hold on to. Again, no guarantees, okay? We went through this in 2016. We had a ton of incredible people who came from families where they're incredibly credible prophets and many, many people that we brought on the radio show that confirmed that the Lord had shown them that Obama was the Antichrist. Carl Gallups was on the show, Pastor Carl Gallups, not once, but twice. Okay, the same thing. Okay, so we had so many confirmations of that. I'm not wavering on that at all. Also want to point out the Son of Kenya prophecy, which I believe was from 1918. But I'm not really sure. Of course, don't forget about the Newsweek, front cover of Newsweek, where they have Obama standing there and it says, "The Second Coming." And, you know, and there's another one where he's standing there like Shiva, the Indian god, and, you know, the destroyer. And it says, you know, "God of all things." So anyway, the Owalu prophecy or Owalo prophecy of, I'm sorry, 1912, the way that it reads, and let me go ahead and zoom in a little bit so I can read. My eyes are tired after a day like today. Let me tell you what, and tomorrow's going to be just as bad and fun. All right, so anyway, it says, "The following from a Kenyan prophet, Johanwa Owalo, the founder of the Luau Church, who in 1912 made this horrific prophecy about the United States. Quote, so far have they, the United States, strayed into wickedness in those future times, that their destruction has been sealed by God. Their great cities will burn, their crops and cattle will suffer disease and death." Anybody out there would debate that one? Would anybody debate that one? That one looks like it nailed it. And it goes on, it says, "Their children will perish from diseases never seen on the earth before. And I reveal to you the greatest mystery of all, as I have been allowed to see, that the United States' future destruction will come about through the vengeful hands of one of our very own Kenyan sons." So anybody who knows a little bit about the history of Obama knows that he was born in Kenya, and he's a Muslim. It matches all the criteria thus far. So that is an interesting thing to take note of. And again, you know, we have to be nimble. We have to be dynamic. And we have to continue to pray. We have to continue to look at our own hearts. If we slip, maybe we drop a hammer on our foot and we let, you know, a bad word echo through the neighborhood. You know, repentance, you know, First John 1:9, if we confess of our sins, he, our Father, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All right. And that's what we should be continuously doing throughout the day, looking at ourselves, evaluating ourselves, putting those who have hurt us at the top of our prayer list, being familiar with the sins that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, Galatians 5:19, and avoiding them. And if we do trip up and we do them, confess of it immediately. Stop, drop. Speak it forth. I am sorry, Father. I did this. Please forgive me. And mean it. And try very, very hard. Pray fervently for help, for God to anoint you that you will not trip over that same problem again. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't work out perfectly if you keep on dropping that hammer on your foot. Right? So you stay on it. All right, praise God. Sanctification is a process. We have God save such who have a contrite spirit. Don't forget the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, because Jesus, you know, it was the tax collector that was like, I am not worthy. And he's in tears and he rends his robe. And Jesus says, which one should you be, the Pharisee or the tax collector? And they were all like, the tax collector. Because we're not worthy. That's why we have to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. All right. The next thing up on the list is the movie They Live, which was, I think, made in 1988. What's interesting about that is in the global elite dinner scene at the near the end of the movie, which you can look up on YouTube. It's interesting because the person at the podium is congratulating everybody for all the money that they made for being the global elite and this, that, and the other thing. And then they come out and they say, and in the year 2025, we will be taking full control of the, you know, whatever the, you know, over their domain of controlling the serfs of the world, which are, you know, the regular people. So anyway, that's fascinating that a movie that was made in 1988 would have had a scene actually mentioning 2025. So that's fascinating. Another thing that's interesting is, according to those who study such things, the blind prophet lady known as the Baba Vanga, okay, she evidently, according to the reports, I'm not an expert on her. I don't know her from Adam, really. But the reports are that she said when Syria falls, who would have imagined that Syria was even going to fall at all? Except for the greater Israel. And that's what's happening right now. Sure enough, it has essentially fallen. And she said, when Syria falls, World War III will start in the spring. Well, interestingly, the spring of 2025 is from something like March 20th to June 21st. That's interesting because that overlays the month of June, where you have Shavuot and the counting of the Omer, which are the portions of barley, the sheaves of barley. So that's part of the barley harvest. And then it counts down to Pentecost. So there are a lot of people out there, while the vast majority look at it as a single rapture event, they don't look at it as the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the grape harvest. They point to Yom Teruah, okay, in September as the most likely date. But there are very few who have been led to understand that there are actually three iterations of the rescue mission, the first watch, the second watch, and the third watch, which are talked about in Luke 12, verses 35, 36, and 37. Interestingly, we know that Jesus in Luke 12, 35, 36, etc., is coming back. It says, let your lamps be lit and your waist girded. It's talking about the Matthew 25 and the wise virgins, obviously, and doesn't mention the first watch, which is really odd. So where are they? Because he says, if I find the second and third watch watching for me, blessed are you, and I will take you back to sup with me. Well, where would that be? It has to be at the wedding supper. So then we know that the first watch is already there. It's just common sense, logical deduction, praise God. And so many people, I wrote an article all the way back in 2011 called Multi-Phased Rescue Mission based on that scripture and the anomalous absence of the first watch. And of course, for those of you who have heard my testimony about the key on my keychain that actually says first watch on it. And I ran around the house flipping out and crying and trying to figure out what did the key go to? What did the key go to, Lord? And it turns out it fit into a luggage carrier thing that you put on the top of your car. And I flipped out because I had given that thing the nickname, the Escape Pod, which is interesting because the word delivered in Daniel 12, when you look at the Hebrew, with your Strong's Enhanced Concordance, it says slippery escape. So that whole thing connected together, and of course I had gotten that letter, welcome to this Shavuot wedding. That was an incredible testimony and supernatural event that happened to me as well. So I don't know. You know, I'm hopeful, and I think a lot of us are hopeful. We know how dark things are now. We know how dark they are almost certainly going to become very quickly, and we're surrounded by darkness, and we're aware of it, and that, of course, makes it a little bit more troubling to deal with. All right, praise God. Then, after the Baba Vanga thing, we have, of course, what Dr. Walter Veith had spoken about on an audio bite that I've played multiple times about Alice Bailey, how she had written in a particular book in 1953 from Lucis Trust that in 2025, the hierarchy of evil will be disclosed. Well, who would that be? Well, it would certainly include the Antichrist, the son of perdition. So that's very fascinating, particularly when you combine it with this remarkable incursion of UFOs. You can call them whatever you want to. If you want to call them drones, call them drones. If you want to call them planes, call them planes. If you want to call them, bumbles from, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, call them bumbles. It doesn't matter. They're unidentified. Nobody's identified them, and anything that anybody has ever said that they are has just been an outright flat-out lie. Manifestos from people, everything is being called up by members of Congress. They're saying this is a bunch of hooey. They see it as a setup, and it is a setup, and they're all talking about it, and what's going to become of it all, I don't know. Most of these things get swept under the rug, and who knows what kind of extortion they use to make sure that it does get swept under the rug. I have yet to believe that there's really going to be anything coming from the P. Diddy list and all these other things. We'll have to wait and see, but there's a lot of people that are held extorted, if you will, with very, very convincing extortion, death of their children, all kinds of threats. It is very much like The Godfather. It is very much like Reservoir Dogs. It is very much like a crime family would operate. All right, praise God. So anyway, what's fascinating is with all the, we're just going to call them UFOs, with all the UFOs, and by the way, it hasn't calmed down at all. There's still plenty of UFOs all over the New Jersey area. There's still plenty of UFOs all over New York. I'm seeing them all over the world. In fact, people are sending me stuff. It just is never ending. Never ending. Okay, and a lot of people have come out and done, videos where they combined, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of films or video snippets, if you will, into one big combined video of all the incursions that are taking place on a global level. Don't even get me going on the creepy fog, okay? The fog from the pit of hell, which is obviously some kind of a poison. Who knows? When you combine all those anomalous things, you look at this claim that there's going to be a revelation of the hierarchy, that we're going to see, the global elite take over supposedly in 2025 and all this kind of stuff. You look at all the UFOs. You remember, of course, all the dynamics. Obama giving his inaugural speech in the Temple of Satan, Zeus inside of the Denver Broncos, apocalyptic horse stadium and everything else under the sun. My gosh, it's just unbelievable. And then you look, take a second look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Paul's admonishing the church in 2 Thessalonians in his second letter. because they were misbehaving. They were dawdling about. They stopped working their jobs. You know, he had to even tell them, if you don't work, you don't eat. He basically comes out and he says, don't behave as if the day of Christ has come. Now, that's very interesting choice of words, because the day of Christ is unique in that particular paragraph of the Bible. Okay, he's talking about the rapture. He's talking about when Jesus comes to fetch his bride. All right, and that's what he's telling everybody. Hey, you all need to chill out and watch for these things to happen, because the day of Christ will not come until the Antichrist is revealed, and power, signs, and lying wonders, and a strong delusion so that the unrighteous will believe the lie. Well, what is all that stuff? It's aliens. Okay, they're going to come down and try to tell us that they are our creators, and most of the people that believe in aliens that don't believe in Jesus already believe that they're our creators, so they're already halfway there. All right, so you got that dynamic taking place. You know, the rise of Obama could happen at the stroke of a pen. If they have to enact National Security Directive number 51 for the continuity of government, it will be a situation whereby the United States of America's at threat. Okay, in other words, the entire country could collapse. That's how bad things would have to be. And then they would break. They would invoke NSD number 51 for the continuity of government. And all of a sudden, the redacted pages that nobody knows about will come out. And how much do you want to believe that it's going to be worded in such a way that puts Obama back in the White House with a different title, affiliated directly with the UN, which would tie it in to Ken Peters' vision? Okay, so again, all these things are interwoven harmoniously. Very, very interesting. Now, we also had the Brother Tramiel had gone out and done some homework, and on 444prophecy.net or one of those websites, there was this Maddie Thompson vision that shows June and all the from June forward, you know, June, July, August, September, October, November, and she goes on and makes some, you know, says that in her vision, all these bad things are going to happen over these, and because they're so bad, that led to those months being blank. Okay, we don't know if that's how it's going to go down. We don't know if any of these things are going to, we don't know if our Father's called an audible. We don't know what is in store for us. So we have to be prepared for any possibility. Okay, don't be like me, okay? Don't get all depressed and don't get all bummed out if Donald Trump does get inaugurated and go into the White House on the 20th. There is still a lot ahead of us. There are still a lot of options for the darkness to do what the darkness intends to do. And thus far, we have not seen our Heavenly Father put a stop. He didn't put a stop to any of the pandemic stuff. He, you know, all this stuff, the respirators. I lost relatives and close friends over that pandemic. So, you know, there's really nothing right now that we can point to other than the fact that we're still alive, because if Satan had his way, he'd have us all dead. We'd be sawn asunder like some of our brothers and sisters were in the Old Testament. So anyway, praise God for all these things. Now, you know, but again, you can't really hang your hat on any one of them. So we really have to be level-headed. And we have to be prayed up. We have to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But we should stay excited. Now, I have yet to annotate and highlight the prophecies and the various, well, things that Thomas Horn has included in his book, Zeitgeist. And Zeitgeist essentially means major change. Okay, major change, Zeitgeist 2025. That's a very interesting book. It was the second to last book that he published before he went home. And he's probably eating all of my Andy's candies. But I hope he leaves a few for me. At least a couple. But anyway, praise God. So anyway, I'm just joking. But anyway, so Zeitgeist 2025, what I did was I went ahead and I purchased it. Now, I do have it in paper, okay, in a regular paperback version. But I went ahead and purchased it in addition as a digital Kindle version. And the reason why I did that is Kindle allows you to highlight sections of it in such a manner that you are able to quickly call them up and go ahead and read them on the air. So what I want to do is I want to take some time and thumb through that book and combine that with the Apollyon Rising 2025, possibly the Zenith 2016, and also Zeitgeist 2025, and maybe be able to throw together a few incredible... There, folks, I'm telling you right now, there I have all three of those books, and I'm telling you, there is incredible stuff that's undeniably unique. Obama was the first president of the United States that was actually taken into the pyramids, in Egypt, in the Pyramid of Giza. I'm not sure if it was Giza that he actually went into. I think it was, but I'm not positive. And I remember I actually had the recording of it. He was standing there looking at a carving of probably some entity like Akhenaten or whatever, who's an alien human hybrid, no doubt about that, with the long elongated skull. But anyway, Obama, when he saw that image carved on the wall of whichever building they were in, I had a recording of him actually saying, "Hey, he looks like me." And of course, there was the news that came out. I forget what year it was, but Obama had played, not so surprisingly, the Pharaoh during the White House Cedar, which is very, very interesting as well. So again, everything seems to add up that we are still on track as we would have imagined we would be. But again, I would always, always forewarn everybody, please, let's keep our heads together. Let's not get upset. I know there's a lot of us that are living in pain. We have health issues. We have job issues that are darn near killing us. Okay. I have blood pressure that hits 227 over 120 sometimes. And my ex-wife, who's a nurse, is like, "Go to the emergency room, call an ambulance." And I'm like, wait a minute. Just let me take some medications and calm down and everything. And it gets under control. Praise God. But anyway, there's a lot going on right now. And I don't think we're in a situation, even if Donald Trump is successfully inaugurated without incident on the 20th and nothing happens with Merchant on the 10th, okay, I don't think the game, I don't want to call it a game, but the situation, the end time situation is over. I don't think that it's been extended and we should all just give up and go buy a grave plot. I think we need to keep our eyes. We are definitely in the fig tree generation. We have Iran right now that is clearly declared war, essentially, publicly, really, against Israel. There are the way they're wording it is within the next several hours, there's going to be a major event. This is coming from Iran. And they always used it. They like to use the word hours, but sometimes those hours turn into days and even longer. So we don't know. There's threats coming down from Erdogan, from Turkey, about moving into Syria and northern Syria. There is other stuff out there. Now, I see that I'm past the 1 hour mark. I'm just going to touch on a few things, and then I do want to try. It's going to be hard with my current workload. I might have to wait till Saturday, but I want to get a bunch of stuff up on the internet. I want to get a shot. I want to publish the you go and buy grapefruit and oranges and things like that, and you can cook your own hydroxychloroquine. It's all natural, very, very good for you. You drink an 8-ounce glass of that a day, and it keeps the doctor away, as it were. Now, just in a recap and very quickly, I want to cover a couple of additional things. Okay, so again, Candace Owens had come out and said the CIA never discontinued their Manchurian candidate program, and she is correct about that. So she's making the claim, correctly so, that is highly likely what led to the New Orleans event with the pickup truck that happened right after there was a lightning strike on Washington, D.C., and all. It's just so many things that happened that are just so supernatural and strange. All right, of course, there were UFOs over Washington, D.C., people were making a big, big fuss about that. People were still making very big fusses about all the UFO events that are taking place, and some of them are very, very strange in the sense that they look off into the horizon, and they see the clouds, and then the clouds clouds are turning like really bright yellow, or they'll turn to like a really like a reddish color or whatever. The reason why that's happening is because there's a mothership up there. But they're not thinking that. They're just wondering, why are the clouds changing to strange colors? Believe me, there are a lot of motherships out there. Okay, of course, I have the picture of the Anunnaki mothership that was photographed from the ISS space station. They have a very, very unique look to them, almost like in the shape of a V. It's very strange, but that's one of the things that make them stick out as, it's clearly an Anunnaki mothership. Also, I want to play this for you. All right, now listen to this. This is some people standing, I guess they were out hiking or whatever, and they, I got to turn this on. All right, hold on. All right, so I'm going to turn this on so that you can hear it. I don't want to go too far over the hour because it can cause technological problems. And sure enough, we have a lot of those. But anyway, I want you to hear this sound that they heard when they were out hiking in the forest. Let's listen to this.
And there's one over here. Looks like it's holding some water. I think it's time to go.
Okay. If I was him, I'd be like, yep, it's definitely time to go. That was obviously some type of a cryptid, but I don't know. Some probably would guess it was a Blackfoot, a Bigfoot. One person even said it was disagreement amongst folks from Ontario, and one person was going, oh, it's just a moose, and the other person was going, there's no way that was a moose. So anyway, I'm voting for the second person. There's no way that's a moose. I don't know what that is. All right, praise God. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's some type of cryptid or whatever. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So also we've got, there's a buildup of Egyptian military equipment on the border, okay, and this is creating a problem. It's raising great concern with Israel. So what does this mean? We don't know yet, but it is in progress, and so we need to keep our eyes on Egypt and what they might or might, maybe they don't do anything. Maybe they're just setting up, defensive protection on the border. I don't know. But there has been a lot of fuss over the fact that Egypt is building up military presence, pretty much on the southern border of Israel, right around the southern border of Gaza. All right. Don't forget, they're calling it a quademic. It includes the flu, COVID, RSV, and the norovirus. But now they're saying that the H5N1 has killed somebody. So they have it now on record as saying that people are dying from H5N1. So, of course, that's that whole gain of function jumping into a person thing that they say is so impossible unless it's monkeyed with by the Dr. Fauci's of the world and that kind of thing. All right. Praise God. Also, the weather reporters, I've got, some of them are just absolutely freaking out. Thunder snow. We had that major snow, whatever you want to call it, storm that moved across, just below the Mason-Dixon line and just dumped on a whole lot of people. There's even a UFO. This is one of those ones that I would like to get put up on Tribulation Now, which it appears, and it looks pretty legit that there are UFOs shooting at each other. It literally looks like photon torpedoes or something like that. So I'd like to get that up for people to be able to see. I want to get a copy of the hydroxychloroquine, the natural version of that recipe. Let's see here. So other than that, I'm taking a last quick look. We still have lots of threats that are being claimed by whistleblowers from Iran, of course. Again, that Egyptian military buildup is a big, big deal, and they don't know exactly what's going on with that, so it's causing a lot of fuss. The number of people, arguably, this is what they're saying, that are filling emergency rooms, just like what happened in 2020. Now, is that true? Are the emergency rooms really full, or is this another bluff? We don't know. But it almost stands to reason that if that was a practice session, like a lot of people say, the first one was, then this one's going to be, more the real deal. And if that's true, it's not going to be a good thing. All right. So anyway, on that note, God bless you. I pray in Jesus' name for every single one of you continuously. I hope that you remember me in prayer. I surely need it. If you have anybody that has upset you, hurt your feelings, whatever, put them at the top of your prayer list and just say, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, forgive them. And mean it. Lean in on that prayer for them. Pray for them to be saved. Pray for God to forgive them. And because it's all about, Father, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, so very important. Sanctification is a continuous process in our walk. Seeking God and falling in love with Him. Just tell Him that you love Him. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Spend that extra time with God. Praise and praise and praise and praise. And what? And for sure, do not forget to pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And stand before Jesus. Where at? At the wedding supper. Praise God. Thank you all for joining us tonight. I don't know when the next program will be. I'm watching what's going on out there. It could be anytime. And I will be praying for you. And it's all about prayer. Prayer and praise and forgiveness. Prayer and praise and forgiveness. So every one of you, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you will be filled with the presence of God, filled with determination, filled with a level head, and be patient and watch and pray like we've been commanded in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining tonight. Shines bright.